Russia's Vladimir Putin has spent the past few days visiting grave sites of the Volgograd train station terror victims, and at each funeral or hospital bedside, he's been vowing annihilation of terrorist groups and the use of maximum force to retaliate and suppress the armed groups that would confront his regime in Russia and attempt to disrupt the upcoming Winter Olympic Games in Sochi. Joining us now is Sufyan Zamulkov, visiting scholar at George Washington University. He's an expert on U.S. and Caucasus relations. Welcome, Sufyan.
Hi, John.
So let's talk about who might have a stake in really disrupting these Olympic Games. Some of the groups are large, but some of the groups are so small as to be invisible. How do you see it?
I would say there are two real political players in general in Russia now. From one side, it's the current regime where Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, is on top. It is so strong, actually, that easily suppresses the opposition, harnesses civil society and the business. From the other side, the terrorist network called Caucasus Emirate, which is not centralized and almost horizontal, one could say, but it is the only power to challenge the Kremlin.
Now, if we talk about the Caucasus Emirate, the designation of what would be, I suppose, a free state, is that the aspiration to break away from Russia? Some of these groups are based in Chechnya, remote areas, in places like Dagestan, where the Russians can't get at them. Is this a small group of little individual sort of insurgents or large-scale groups that might be more easily suppressed?
Well, it is a network of small terrorist groups, which they have this group, small terrorist groups in every republic in the North Caucasus. And they are not actually connected because the region is very well guarded, that they are separated by law enforcement agencies in Russia. But they are rather effective, and they themselves claim that they are all subordinated to one group, which is based, they believe, in Dagestan.
And if disruption of the games is merely to get a headline, there's no sense that these groups are able to mount an attack that could seriously threaten the regime, but they could get noted.
Well, the Sochi Olympics are so well guarded and the Kremlin build such high security that specialists think it's almost impossible to organize a terrorist attack in Sochi during the Olympics. But the terrorists organize terrorist acts outside of Sochi. So some experts think that terrorists try to divert attention of security services, to split them and to weaken Sochi so that during the Olympics they could perform terroristic acts. This is, as you said, large territory which the separatists, this organization, claims that they want to free it, and their goal is actually to separate territory from Russia, but it doesn't seem realistic now. But what seems realistic is that they can perform terroristic acts all over Russia, and they can develop this suicide bombers, which is a very psychologically hard and financially hard thing to do, but they are capable of that, which shows that this is a very strong terrorist underground in Russia.
So finally, the takeaway seems to be, and you would agree with your colleagues at the Carnegie Endowment, that terrorists in the Volgograd attacks were pushing and probing for weaknesses, and that Moscow could actually be vulnerable during the Olympics.
Absolutely. This Volgograd attacks showed that Moscow is extremely vulnerable, if not in Sochi itself, at least in any state they can perform terroristic acts. And the experts from Carnegie Institute are very correct in their analysis.
Sufyan Zamulkov is a visiting scholar at George Washington University, an expert on Caucasus relations and the insurgency inside Russia. Sufyan, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.